This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. That's right, guys. I'm back, baby. That's right. I missed a week. I was at some AEW wrestling down in D.C. in a very sketchy part of town. But I'm back this week talking all kinds of Caps hockey. Joining me, as always, Coach Dan. He took a wrestling theme for last week's show.
I was wondering if you were going to catch that.
I was so proud of you. So proud of you.
Once I realized what episode it was, I was like, oh, I have a joke.
Because Coach Dan said so, and I'm like, oh, he gets to have the wrestling theme here.
It was perfect. Yeah. It worked out beautifully.
I do have to say before we get into this, CM Punk, who's a very popular wrestler, he's with AEW right now. At the end of their Friday show, because they had a show on Wednesday and Friday, he came out to talk to the crowd, and he goes, "What do you guys think of Bryce Harper?" And of course, there was all kinds of boos. And then they go, "What about Ovi? Is he going to break Gretzky's record?" And everybody starts cheering. Then there was an Ovi chant at a wrestling match. So I was so happy because, like, two of my worlds combined right there, and the dude wasn't even in the building, and we got an OV chant at an AEW show. That was pretty cool.
I mean, maybe he was in the building.
He may have been. I mean, I don't know. I feel like somebody, maybe like Tom Wilson would have been there or something. I don't know.
Well, Wilson's probably getting tips.
Yeah, exactly. But, hey, we're here to talk Caps hockey. Coach Dan held the fort down last week. Unfortunately, the Capitals have not been able to hold anything down, a lead, winning, anything like that. They're not holding anything down. Caps kind of suck right now.
Jeez.
I mean, if we're being honest.
You're not wrong. Well, harsh, but you're not wrong.
It's unfortunate the Caps are not playing up to their best, I guess you could say. It seems like they're lacking in defense, but they have had a couple players out. Their offense, their secondary scoring has kind of dried up. It's Ovi or nothing. And their goaltending is still, you know, 50-50, even though it does look like it's Vitek Vanacek's net for right now. But given the fact that we are coming off a loss and their first shutout of the year up against the Vegas Golden Knights, it might not be his net tomorrow, but we'll know about that tomorrow.
What it seems like, and they're talking about this on Caps this morning, is that Laviolette goes with a hot hand. And if the goalie's playing well and they win, they get the next game. Vanacek's played in the last four. So part of me goes, okay, it's Samsonov's turn. Samsonov's last game was on Sunday in the loss to Vancouver. But he played really well in the game against Vegas. It's not his fault they lost 1-0. He only gave up one goal against a good Las Vegas team. I feel like he's the guy right now. Like, he's their go-to guy, and it's going to change again. It's going to change again. It's going to change again unless they actually go out and trade for a goalie. But I think that Vanacek is their guy right now, and I think he deserves to play against San Jose Wednesday night because he played really well in that game against Vegas, and it's not his fault that they lost.
Who's it on then?
They didn't score a goal. Well, it's on Robin Leonard because the dude played a great game against the Capitals, but they weren't exactly they made life tough for him a little bit, but not a lot. And at the end of the game, he wasn't really having to go out of his way to make a save. He was just kind of doing what he needed to do. They weren't making it really difficult for him. A lot of shots from the outside. Part of that is just the reality of this team right now is Mantha's out. He's probably not coming back anytime soon. We'll see if he's back for the end of the regular season.
They did say, I believe, that he potentially could
hit
the ice
soon
next week. Yeah, but that's
then you're looking
still
weeks.
Yeah.
Look at Backstrom. Backstrom was skating for weeks before he actually was able to come back and play in a competitive game. It's going to
be Anthony Mantha's back April? Maybe April?
I mean, that'd be nice.
Best case scenario?
Maybe before the deadline. I mean, I think best case scenario is they get a look at him before the deadline to really go, yeah, we need to go out and get a winger. But and that's not the only thing they're going to need. But Mantha's out. Oshii can't stay healthy this season for whatever reason. And they're not getting a ton of production. They're not getting a ton of consistent production from anybody not named Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, or Carlson. Wilson's doing okay. He's got 29 points in 39 games. But Connor Sheary, no offense to him, but he's your fifth highest point getter right now at 19 in 33. That's not good enough. And not, I don't mean for Sheary. That's actually, if I'm sitting here going, all right, that's actually pretty good. Sheary's on third or fourth line. Like, thanks, man. That's not good enough that a guy who's on your bottom six is your fifth best, that your a defenseman is your third best point getter right now on this team. Now, I know Backstrom's been out for a significant portion of the season, and if that wasn't the case, he'd be much higher up on this list. That's likely a given. I mean, he's got 8 and 10. That's pretty good. But where's the other wingers? Where's the first line winger? They haven't had one, really. You know, Wilson been in that, but he's really been on the second line right now. They have this McMichael, Kuznetsov, or is it Backstrom? Why am I not remembering this? But McMichael and Wilson are playing together. But you're not getting consistent opportunity to have a winger opposite Ovechkin, which isn't slowing him down at all. He's got 58 points in 43 games. Right now, it's only he and Kuznetsov that are better than a point-per-game player. Kuznetsov's got 41 and 40. Ovechkin's actually got 29 goals and assists. That's pretty impressive for a guy who apparently is a puck hawk. All he does is take, you know, well, he does take a lot of shots. Like, I don't think anybody can argue that point.
Did you see that he dented the goalie's mask?
Yeah.
In the last game?
Leonard was a little, I think, nervous about that one because that, yeah, that was pretty nerve-wracking for him that one of his shots dented the mask.
Yeah, so, like, apparently, like, it went into his cheekbone and he was like, uh-oh.
He's like, this is a problem. We should get this fixed. But right now, this team needs help goal-scoring-wise, and it needs help in the forward ranks, and a top-six forward would be ideal. And it's not just getting Mantha back. I think they need another one to be able to come in and play in the top six. Because you've got, let's say everybody's healthy and ready to go. You've got Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Wilson, and you've got Mantha, Backstrom, and who?
Oshii? I mean, no. If he's back?
He can't stay healthy. And even he's really at his best right now, third line. Because think about it. I mean, if you're getting that goal scoring from the third line with Oshii, that's pretty good. I mean, Oshii had 13 points in 18 games. It's not bad. I'll put that on the third line if I can go out and get somebody else. They're trying Daniel Sprong, Sheary, McMichael now, Protas. And credit to a guy like Protas. I think Lisa was up there at one point. Like, they're trying.
Right.
And they're doing different things. But they're not there yet. You know, I think they have really good future second or third line players in Protas. I mean, Protas can be, you know, potentially a first line player at some point, and Brett Leeson. But it's not, they're not there yet. And if this team really wants to make a run in the playoffs and be able to compete with Carolina right now for this division, they have to go out and they need to acquire someone that can help them do that. Because what they have right now, they don't have a sixth player for their top six. They don't have a second line winger to be with Backstrom and Mantha if he ever comes back. But if Mantha doesn't come back, now you're down two. That you're not going to get production from the other guys on the roster. So who are you going to go out and acquire?
Yeah, I think the entire fan base, and I'm sure the front office knows this as well, but I'm sure everyone's in agreement that the team that we have right now is just not going to cut it.
Even when they're all healthy.
Yeah, it's not going to cut it. So there's definitely some things that need to be added. Now, whether that be a veteran goaltender or whether it be a top six guy, I'm not really sure what's more important at this point. I kind of want to say a top six guy is more important because you do have those two goaltenders that can be good depending on the night. But you got to look at a forward too, because you also got to think about the power play, which is pretty much non-existent at this point.
Abysmal.
Yes.
Their power play is just terrible right now. And there's no excuse. Even without Mantha and Oshii, you still have enough firepower to make something happen. These aren't like bad players. We have people playing on the top six that probably shouldn't be, but they're not bad enough that the power play should be this terrible.
I mean, your first power play unit, you're looking at Tom Wilson, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Ovi, John Carlson. I mean, that's a solid power play unit right there. Carlson to Ovechkin is a huge points getter right there.
Yeah. Although, have you noticed sometimes Carlson's passing, it's very Mike Green. Where every once in a while you're like, that wasn't a very good pass. Like, that's not, put it on a stick. Like, it shouldn't be that hard.
Right.
But I think that with this roster, they're not going to have the best power play in the league, but they certainly shouldn't have one that's this bad. And if I can get the standings, show me what I want. Either way, their power play sucks, is what I'm trying to say. It's too stagnant. It's too predictable. And there's nothing really up close. Like, everything comes from the outside. It's Carlson taking a shot. Schultz, whoever, Jensen, when he's here, they're taking shots from the outside. Occasionally Ovechkin's at the point. They're taking shots from deep. They try to move something inside, but because there's so little movement, it's always, you know, one guy parked in front, and you just have to box him out. It's or mark the player, and it's really easy to then stop them from doing anything productive, because you're like, oh, he's not going anywhere. All right, well, this is easy. I'll just stand here with him, and then they're either not going to pass on the puck, or if they try, I'm not going to let him get it past me. So I don't really see I don't see this getting any better. And the only thing I can think of is that they don't have someone else to replace Blaine Forsythe, who's in charge of their power play.
Right.
Because why is he still... Your job, in almost anybody's job, is contingent upon you doing it well. Right? And that's... I'm not saying that I like or want someone to get fired from their job.
Right.
But you... This is a stats-based... what am I trying to say? Stats-based job. I keep saying job too many times in the last few sentences. But it's a stats-based business, right? You have to have good stats, to, more or less, to win. And the goal at the end of every season is to win the Stanley Cup for most teams. Some teams are rebuilding. They understand you're going to be bad. It's about improving your team throughout the season. Thinking the Caps after the fire sale. The goal was to see them get better and better as it went through this season. If they weren't progressing, and that's why Glenn Hanlon eventually got fired and they brought in Boudreau, because they expected a higher production and they sort of, you know, not bottomed out, but they'd gotten very even in terms of what they were doing. They weren't progressing. The chart wasn't going up. So right now the power play is dropping dramatically. So either they don't have anyone else to hire, or they just for some reason think it's going to get better. But there's nothing. There's no movement. There's no statistics. There's nothing right now that I feel like anyone can point to and go, yeah, see, wait, just wait for this to happen and they're going to get better. It's not reality. I don't see that being the case. I mean, right now, if I have this right, and I don't know if I do, because I'm looking, this is on covers.com, whatever that is. I literally just Googled. Right now, they're saying that the power play percentage for the Capitals, they are 30th in the league at 14.7. I don't know if that's accurate. I'm trying to find another website that I have actually heard of before. Okay, wait. Oh, here. Why is Toronto on here like 17 times? ESPN, what are you doing? All right, this got weird in a hurry. Anyways, the story I'm trying to get to here is that their power play is terrible.
Now, we do have the trade deadline coming up in about a month or so. Are there any names out there that you think they can add to the power play that are cost effective for the Capitals and that could be one of those top six guys? Because like you said, Anthony Mantha, I don't assume he's coming back probably till the end of the year, but is there anybody that they can add in right now that will come in and immediately make a splash?
It depends on your definition of a splash. I mean, yeah, there's players out there that can make a splash. There's one player in particular that we could talk about that is rumored to be the Capitals might be interested in. He's not going to cost you anything other than a contract. Which
and maybe some Tylenol because he's a headache.
Well played on that one. He definitely is. Bringing in Evander Kane would be a massive headache. So Elliot Friedman had tweeted out that the Capitals are interested in him. I don't know. And I believe he didn't say as to whether they'd reached out. I don't think they have at this point. But that would be something. And there's some talk on Tarik Elbashir from The Athletic. He's the Caps beat reporter. He had a, I think I talked about this last week, potentially. He had a mailbag where he was having people, like, ask him questions.
Right.
And he was, Kane's name came up in a question. And the one thing he did bring up is that the Capitals have a pretty good, if not very good, chemistry amongst each other. They have a good, what's the word I'm trying to think of here? They have a good, like, rapport in the locker room. They have a good...
Camaraderie.
They have a good, environment. There's a different word I'm trying to think of, but I can't think of it at the moment. They have a good thing set up in their locker room. So bringing in a guy that could be a bit of a headache in terms of, like, causing issues because he's a putz probably won't affect this team. But it's, do you want to bring in someone that brings likely negative press, that, you know, points wise, not terrible. I mean, last season in 56 games for San Jose, he had 49 points, 47 points in 64 games the year before, 56 and 75 the year before. It's not like on paper, you're looking at him going, it's not going to cost me a draft pick. It's just going to cost me a contract, which who knows what he's going to want. Part of me thinks he might want to resurrect his career. Now, I don't know if word came down from the NHL at this point. They were going to have a ruling regarding, I believe, his fake vaccine card.
Right.
But I don't think anything has come out yet. It looks like, according to TSN, the NHL is hoping to conclude that investigation by midweek. So that might even be a moot point if they're like, get the out of here, buddy.
Right.
You know, he might get a lengthy suspension. It might just be a slap on the wrist. It could be a huge fine. I don't know. Doesn't really matter.
Mike Richards got in a lot of trouble, if you remember, when he was with the LA Kings, and then the Caps signed him to a really low deal because they were hoping he would help out the team. They did not get any farther with Mike Richards, and I think it was only for that half a year he was here.
Yeah.
So the Capitals have taken risks before, but like I recorded my Ravens podcast, The Call, earlier today, and you know there's rumors of Antonio Brown coming to town and him and Lamar wanting to play together. He posted a picture of himself in a Ravens jersey. So, I mean, and the Ravens have taken chances on players in the past, like Le'Veon Bell just this year. So, I mean, it's not unheard of for these players with some off-ice, off-field antics to be given a shot in some of these local teams. But if I was the guy running the Capitals, I would say, no, I don't want that headache in my locker room.
I agree with you. If I'm the general manager of the Capitals... Or if I'm
your
the
coach, so.
Or if I'm the coach, I'm saying thank you, but no thank you. I like the idea of his production, but I don't know if it's going to – I don't know if that outweighs the headache. And I think there's other players potentially available that you could go out and get that, yeah, they're going to cost you more in terms of draft picks, in terms of prospects, in terms of guys that are currently on the roster. But I just can't get over – the idiocy and the circus in regards to the media that will come along with him. Like if I'm the Caps, I'm going and I'm looking at Seattle. I'm looking at Vancouver. I'm potentially looking at Edmonton. Well, Edmonton's still kind of in the race. Vancouver kind of. Edmonton also another team that's looking at Kane. So they can have him. But I'm looking at Arizona, Chicago. I'm looking at these teams, maybe even Montreal. I'm looking for someone, Ottawa. I'm looking to bring in a goal scorer from them. If they're looking to keep rebuilding and retooling their roster.
Right.
I'm sending them a draft pick. You know, my top prospects are off limits. But after that, you know, because I don't think the Capitals can risk giving up their top prospects right now because they're, in reality, we are a handful of years away from the post-Ovechkin era.
Handful? What? No, it's one hand. Isn't it 5 years?
I mean, he might set up a new con. Yes, we are potentially 1 year away from the post-Ovechkin era. And that, you know, maybe you go into that offseason and you sign a top guy, you know, or you have to go and draft your own superstar. But to do that, you have to have a really bad season the year before and have a little luck in the draft lottery. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm not willing to give up the future when I don't think I necessarily need to.
What do you think, speaking of the future, what do you think of the pairing of Connor McMichael with Tom Wilson? Connor McMichael, he just turned 21. He's a young guy. They're two very different players, if you ask me. I mean, Connor McMichael is a little bit of a smaller guy than Tom Wilson. But do you think that Tom Wilson's the type of guy that Connor McMichael can kind of pick up some pointers from?
I mean, playing in the NHL, yes. I don't necessarily see that in terms of, I just don't think their styles are going to be the same. I don't see McMichael going out there and getting suspended, but I don't see him going out there and you know, being a big body hit kind of guy. I see him more in the, like, you know, playmaker role with also producing goals along the way. I think maybe it can make him more comfortable in the NHL, but I don't think, you know, like a veteran is supposed to do with a young rookie or young player. But I don't think it's necessarily – I don't think Michael's going to style his game after Wilson.
Yeah. Now, looking at the defense, we did have John Carlson out for a couple games due to COVID. We had Dmitry Orlov out for a couple games due to a knee-to-knee hit that he did call and apologize for, said it was unintentional. And now we have Nick Jensen out week-to-week on IR due to, I believe it's an upper body injury. But this defense has been kind of up and down, unsure of like what's going on, like we've done this entire year. But it's good to have Orlov and Carlson back. But when those three guys were out, what was it, just a game or two ago, that's your top three guys. Nick Jensen has come a long way since he's been with the Capitals. That last year with Chara really helped him out. So he's really been able to step up his game. But it's been a little crazy. It's been a little unfortunate that this defense has kind of been dropped down a peg like it has. And apparently there's guys like Irwin, who has been on this team since the beginning of this year. I had no idea he was a part of this team, and I texted you, and I was like, who is this guy? Never heard of him before. And you're like, he's been on the team since the beginning.
He texted me, and you're like, where'd he come from? And I was like, the free agency? When they signed him? In the offseason?
Yeah, I had no idea.
No, I mean, it's a good thing they signed Jenis Chalosky, because they need him. I mean, in reality, they could have brought up Alexiev, although then he might have missed the game where he got the Bears game where he got to dive into all the stuffed animals. But
more on that later.
Yes. But I think the defense has been hard done. But it's not really anyone. Well, Orlov getting suspended is his own fault because he could have avoided the knee on knee. I don't think it was intentional, but he could have avoided it.
Right.
But Carlson being on the COVID protocols. It's not, I mean, if you're following the rules, you still can get it. So it's not really your fault. And Jensen getting hurt, it's not really his fault. So
the Carlson one was interesting because wasn't it the game before he got pulled, he tested positive and then he did like another rapid test right before game time and it was negative. So he was allowed to play the game. He even came on the ice for warmups late and then he played the full game. And then the next game he got tested and he popped another positive test. So
I don't know. I didn't see that. I mean, there's all these different kinds of tests and rules that everybody seems to want to play by with different leagues. And I think the NHL is now not testing vaccinated asymptomatic players. So I know the NFL was doing that. So it's, I mean, the reality is, take COVID out of it. Let's say Carlson got hurt, right? Like, teams deal with injuries.
Sure.
And your depth is tested. And I think the teams that are going to do really well, either A, don't have a lot of injuries or players going on the COVID protocol, or B, have a good amount of depth. And going into this season, depth should have been on the mind of every general manager. I think that's why they acquired Chalosky on waivers. They picked him up. I think that's why they have Matt Irwin. I think it's why they, you know, haven't made a move to potentially trade out Alexiev or Lucas Johansson, because they know they might need these guys at some point at the NHL level, because there's so many different ways that players now can be out of the lineup. You know, before it was just injuries or suspension. Now you got COVID. Now you either have the virus or you're near someone that had the virus, or you have symptoms and now you're not playing. Or it's trickier this season. So having that depth and having that defensive depth is really important.
Sorry, I'm just reading this, Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts, put out there. He said, we should prepare ourselves for the possibility of Marc-Andre Fleury, Washington Capitol.
Yeah.
At the very least, the Capitals are looking into it.
So, it's not... that's not surprising. I mean, I think I think I brought this up last week, but I'm not at all surprised if they're looking at him because I think they're looking at a goalie.
Right.
The interesting aspect is that in the trade for a goalie, will they look to move out Samsonov or Vanecek in that trade?
Or Fukale.
I don't think that any team's going to take him on a trade.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't see that.
Just throw him. We get one of your goalies, you get two of ours.
I mean, I think if you go, if I'm Chicago, you know, I'm not having a great season. I'm probably looking to rebuild a little bit or retool for next year. I mean,
that's how we got Mantha, right?
Well, yeah, I guess, I'm trying to remember exactly what it was in terms of whether I don't think he wanted out of Detroit, but I think
weren't having a good year and they had somebody who was a little bit younger, a little bit quicker.
Well, I guess they liked the idea of bringing in Vrana. So, yeah. They, you know, it was a good trade for both teams, although both are now out injured.
Yes.
That was interesting how that worked out. But I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not surprised the Capitals are looking at bringing in a goalie. It would be so freaking weird to have Marc-Andre Fleury here after all the years of being like, I hate you. Stop stopping us from advancing in the playoffs.
Right.
So that would just be so weird. And if it was like, I was talking with a buddy of mine about European football earlier in the day and how, like, we're talking about like rivalries and things. And I think it's interesting. Not really so much rivalries as like connections to teams, but I don't feel like you'd see this quite as much in European football because there's just such a rivalry between the Caps and the Penguins. That having one of their former players come in, but it also mean a lot to what this team could do in the playoffs. It would be weird. It would be so weird.
That was a big deal with Orpik and Niskanen when they came in, right?
I mean, yeah, which is why I think it's not quite the same in the U.S. I mean, you've have players that have gone from Pittsburgh to Baltimore or vice versa. You've had players that have gone from the Yankees to the Red Sox or vice versa. You've had people that have gone from Pittsburgh to Washington. I mean, it happens. And vice versa. So, it's not the end of the world, obviously. But it's weird.
Now, let's kind of wrap up Caps World here talking about this for a little bit. Speaking of weird, for the first time in his career, the Capitals will be up against, potentially, Braden Holtby. On Friday. Now, it won't be in D.C. They are going to Texas for the game. They're going to be in Dallas to face Braden Holtby. But how weird is that going to be for Ovi and the boys to be up against a guy who was so important to that cup run in 2018? I mean, they just did this again on Monday against the Vegas Golden Knights, going up against a guy like Chandler Stephenson. He was a very important guy in that cup run as well. Did he mean as much as Braden Holtby? Maybe in a different way, but Braden Holtby has been kind of like one of the stalwarts of the Capitals, and I think you've even said, like, hey, if you wear his jersey to a game or whatever, it's still okay.
Nothing wrong with it. He hoisted the cup. You hoist the cup. You're good in my book until you do something stupid in the real world.
So what do you think of facing Braden Holtby for the first time? I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about. He left in 2019, went to Vancouver due to COVID. There was no traveling, never faced him. Now he's in Dallas. And this will be the first time in almost 2 years that the Caps will be up against Braden Holtby.
It's going to be weird. It's
very.
I'm trying to think of another situation where they had a goalie like Varlamov, Neuwirth, when they left. Because I'm trying to think of the guys like after Kolzig, who were like the big name goalies that they had.
It was, I mean, yeah.
You have those three.
Yeah, Jose three or more.
No, but he, like, it's, I don't feel like it's the same because, yeah, right. Because he was in Montreal beforehand.
Right.
And, oh, that was the worst. Should have kept Huey. But you have, you know, you had Varlamov, you had Neuwirth, you have Holtby. You had those who were kind of fighting to be who's the number one guy. So when they came back, it was weird. Like, I remember Neuwirth at, like, not, I don't think it was rookie camp, but one of the early first or second year for him over in the NHL. seeing him at the Caps game. It was before Kettler was actually built, or whatever it is now, MedStar Capital's Iceplex.
Yeah, which, by the way, I got to tell you, a friend of mine from work went there on Monday to go to practice. Yes, practice is open, but you cannot get anywhere near the players, and they cannot do photos and autographs after the game outside. So he was a little ticked off because he did not know that. But
it makes sense.
Right, it's COVID.
Now. Yeah. But if you're looking at the goalies coming back what was I talking about a second ago? Neuwirth. He looked like he was like 12 when I saw him at that first camp when they're out in like way out in Virginia. But to see those guys come back was weird. But having Holtby back and playing against the Caps, I imagine that there's going to be at some point a fun moment where Ovechkin's going to take a shot and he's going to make a save and there'll be a little stick tap or something to him.
I'm intrigued to see what happens there. I definitely can see something like that happening. It's going to be very weird. I never got used to seeing Holtby in the Vancouver colors. I don't get used to seeing him in the Dallas colors, even though those D-Generation X jerseys that Dallas has,
terrible.
That neon green. But Holtby was also another name that a lot of people were kicking around besides Marc-Andre Fleury that potentially could come back to the Capitals and be a goaltender here because he is only on a 1 or 2 year deal. So Holtby meant a lot to this organization, meant a lot to the community. He was a big member of the Pride community, and he was always a staple at Pride parades in DC. He did a lot for the community around town. So, like you said, he's the type of guy that's once a Cap, always a Cap. So it's going to be weird seeing him across the ice and kind of rooting against him. But I think a little part of us is always going to be like, oh, good for you, Holtby. Yeah, that's what we liked about you.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it'd be nice if the game was in D.C. because I feel like fans could go and wear their Holtby jerseys and they'd have a nice video moment for him. And
yeah, when does he come back? When does Dallas come here? Do they come here? They have to.
Sunday, March 12th.
March
20th. Sorry, 20th. I saw the two and then said the wrong thing. The 20th, they're playing. It's a 5 o'clock game.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be a sellout because everybody's going to want to see Holtby.
We'll see how things are going with the virus.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, it'll be a nice moment to have him back, and I'm sure they'll have a very nice video tribute for him.
So, anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Aside from the power play still sucking?
That's still bad.
No, I think that's it. I mean, this team, they've had a bad January. I mean,
really bad.
Them and Arsenal. They've had a bad January. I mean, they've lost 7 of their last 10. They've got to turn it around, and I don't think that they can do it with the players they have on the roster right now. I think they need to make a trade well before the deadline. The deadline's not until March. So, yes, they are, it's a good thing that every other team after them is not very good in this division. The Rangers are on top? When did that happen?
Right?
Well, they played like 40 billion, although they played the same amount of games as the Caps. They're 5 points up on them. But the Rangers are on top with 60 points. You got Pittsburgh is in second with 57, but they've played two less games. Carolina somehow has only played 38 games. They're at 56 points. They're one up on the Caps, who played 43 games. But then you've got Columbus is at 37. New Jersey's at 35. The Islanders are at 34, as well as the Flyers, who have lost, let's see, they've lost 10 in a row. I think 12 in a row at the moment. So they suck is what I'm trying to say. So the Caps are lucky that they're not in a division where the other teams are actually pretty good because they'd be in a tough spot right now.
Well, let's just hope that the Capitals are not going to be a one and done type of team in the playoffs. Let's hope that happens. Playoffs are still a little bit ways away. So they've got some time, but like you said, it's gonna be interesting to see what the Caps can do. These other teams above them, ahead of them in the Metro, are very good. Caps are in fourth right now, but you gotta go against those teams at some point, I guess. So that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start, as we usually do, in Hershey, where the Bears went 1-1 with a win and loss to Hartford. They're currently tied with Springfield for first in the Atlantic Division with 43 points. Now, they're back at it tonight, that being Tuesday, hosting Wilkes-Barre Scranton, where I think I just saw on Twitter they're down 1-0. They're at the Giants Center, then they welcome Bridgeport before heading to Lehigh Valley on Sunday. Now, going back to that win over Hartford, Axel Janssen-Fjällby's first goal started the teddy bear toss. We talked about that just a little bit ago. And by the end of that big celebration, if I have this number correctly, and I think I do, 52,341 stuffed animals were thrown onto the Giants Center iced. Iced? Ice. That is insane. I mean, how many people can actually fit in the arena? So I have a logistical question. If let's say you can get, let's see, I'm going to Google it real quick. The Giant Center can house how many people? Giant Center.
I think it was 10,000.
Yay. Seats. I don't know. That didn't work. Okay. Thank you, Wikipedia. 10,500. So let's say you've got 10,500 people. How did all of them bring in five stuffed animals each? Like, logistically, how did you carry that?
You had a trench coat with lots of pockets.
I'm trying to figure that out. 52,341 stuffed animals, they get donated to 25 local organizations.
This has become such a huge deal. I mean, everybody was covering this. ESPN, Baltimore, who loves the Caps, they covered it on the local news, talking about Hershey Bears doing what they're doing up 83, stealing our old bit. But that's how big of a deal this is. I cannot believe I have not been to a teddy bear toss game yet. I mean, I am dying to go. I really want to go. I mean, dude, this looks like such a blast. And seeing the players jumping and stage diving and doing all that stuff into the teddy bears, God, it just looks like so much fun.
I mean, it would be amazing to see.
I feel like you would have to sit up high, though, because you would probably just get pelted in the head with a Beanie Baby or something.
Yeah, right? Like, a dude scores, you're like, ah! Or you bring an umbrella and hat. Put it up real fast.
Right.
They can't get me. But I mean, it's insane, and it's awesome.
Yeah, 52,000 teddy bears to local charities. I absolutely love it. Great, great story there.
Ooh. Let's head on down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 1-2 with a win over Jacksonville, but they also had two losses to those same Icemen. They are currently fifth in the South Division with 30 points, 17 back of first place Jacksonville. And they'll be back at it on Wednesday in Greenville before heading to Norfolk for three games in a row starting on Friday night. In other Stingrays news, defenseman Jordan Subban was subject to a racist gesture from Jacksonville's Jacob Panetta during overtime in their game this past Saturday. The ECHL announced the following Sunday morning that Panetta was indefinitely suspended, and the Iceman later released him. Now, during overtime, the Iceman Twitter account said that that overtime began with a rough fight. After the game, Subban replied to their tweet, writing, "More like at JPanetta12 was too much of a coward to fight me, and as soon as I began to turn my back, he started making monkey gestures at me, so I punched him in the face multiple times, and he turtled like the coward he is." There, fixed it, and Subban added a thumbs-up emoji. Panetta later released a video on his own Twitter account stating that he was not intending for his gesture to be racist, but that he was doing a tough guy stance. He even went so far as to tweet a video of him doing a similar gesture in a different game to a white player. The video he tweeted shows him doing a tough guy gesture, but his arms are up, not down. So here's my thoughts on this. We're in a day and age where being an a-hole is no longer acceptable. It shouldn't have been acceptable in the past, but unfortunately, society allowed it to happen. We as a society have to be more aware of the things we're doing, the things we're saying, and the gestures that we're doing to other people. Because even though you may not intend to do something in a certain way, it's not appropriate anymore. It wasn't then, but it's certainly not now. Not to mention, it's kind of cowardly to be trying to, like, be tough guy up against a dude who's not even looking at you. Like, if you're going to be a big tough guy, do it to his face. Otherwise, shh, you don't get to say anything, okay? Once the ref has taken him away, you're done. You can go up and try and get in his face again. I mean, probably shouldn't, because the ref's already got him. Like, it's over at that point. Like, let it go. But in my opinion, Panetta, racist or not, he messed up. And a lot of this feels like he was kind of, he's trying to save his career.
I agree with you. I do think a lot of people are looking at the gesture that he made. There is a lot of debate whether or not there were racial motives to what he did or not. He's saying that there wasn't. Jordan Sudan is saying that there was. I don't know if there were words uttered in between the gesture that he made or not. Like, there was a referee in between them. There should be a third party there to say whether or not something was said or not. So I don't know that side of the story. But like you said, with this day and age, you shouldn't be doing something like that. Look at what happened last year with Tom Wilson and the New York Rangers. And I even said it on our past show that the fact that somebody jumped on his back and he was fighting that guy and threw him to the ground, you know, that was a part of the scrum that was happening. What really bugged me was his taunting in the penalty box, because he did a tough guy pose in the penalty box with his jersey off. And that was my biggest issue with the whole situation, because I'm like, all right, you're already in the penalty box. You can stop doing that now. So this kid, was it smart for him to try to egg on Jordan? Absolutely not. It was already over. It was done with. Stop what you're doing. I think that we need to let the ECHL do their investigation. I really think the two guys should call each other on the phone and talk out and figure out. He can say it wasn't racially motivated. And then Sudan can say, here's why I took it that way and why I think it was racially motivated. You know, I can completely understand Sudan seeing that gesture and being offended by it and going after him after that. I completely understand it.
We have to be more aware as society, as people, as myself, as a white person. I have to be more aware of what I say, because certain things.
Racism is very real. Mm-hmm. It is a very real issue.
So we'll see what happens after they have an investigation. We'll see if Subban comes out and says anything else about it. But Panetta put himself in a bad spot.
Yeah.
So.
And it's racism is still very much an issue in this country, in this world. It needs to stop. And that's why I really do think, I think you get both of these guys talking in a room and let's figure this out. Let's just not have yelling over the internet of who's right and who's wrong. Let's talk it out. Let's figure out why you made that stance, why that was offensive, and why you shouldn't do it anymore.
I mean, I think ECHL is going to do their thing. What they end up determining is going to, whether he gets to come back in the league or not. But I mean, it's this one up. There's a situation in the AHL. And unfortunately, this probably happens. We know it happens in the NHL. I'm not necessarily from players, but from fans. It happens, you know, not fairly often, but often in European football. It's a problem.
I mean, there was something in a German hockey league that happened recently, too. And I believe that player's been suspended indefinitely. So
this does happen.
Yeah, this does happen. This is a very true thing that happens. And it's unfortunate and it's wrong and it shouldn't. But we all of us need to look at this incident and learn from it and figure out how to fix this, because it's racism in any way is not right.
Well said. But yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, well, that's it. Good on Hershey Bears for getting all those teddy bears and giving them out to charity. Well done, everybody. South Carolina doing their thing. Everybody, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. Plenty of stuff's happening in the NHL and around the Olympic world. So, Coach Dan, tell us. what's going on around the NHL and beyond.
Well, let's start in Vancouver, where congrats are in order for current Canucks head coach and former Caps and Hershey Bear head coach, Bruce Boudreau, who coached in his 1,000th NHL game this past Sunday.
Bruce, there it is.
That is, he doesn't like that. That is, that is a crazy number.
And I think he was on Caps this morning last week, and actually, who was it? Ben Raby interviewed him and said that, do you know how many AHL games you've coached, how many NHL games you've coached? And right now he has coached more AHL games, but if he keeps going in the NHL, it's a very good chance that he will overlap that AHL number, which I think was like 1,300 or something like that. So dude's coached a bunch of hockey.
It's going to take a while, but he might be able to get there.
Yeah.
We'll see how things go out for him in Vancouver. Going well so far.
Speaking of the Caps.
Well, that is true, but apparently it's not very hard to do right now.
Right.
But speaking of the Canucks, they hired Emily Castonguay to be their, I don't know if I said her name right, I hope I did, but she's their new assistant general manager, becoming the second woman in NHL history to be an assistant general manager after Angela Gorgon worked for Anaheim during the 1996-97 season. It's a pretty cool story. Check it out on NHL.com. Very interesting story about her. Best of luck to her out in Vancouver. Let's head over to Philly, where by starting tonight's game, defenseman Keith Yandle now owns the record for most consecutive games played in NHL history with game number 965.
Wow.
That is insane.
Consecutive games. That's nuts.
Yeah. I'm not calling him the Iron Man because that's Ripken.
Yeah, that's right.
But let's stay in Philly, where they announced that interim head coach Mike Yeo will remain their head coach for the rest of the season, even though the Flyers have lost 12 in a row. It's not a good way to build your resume. Now, I mean, Yeo has been a head coach before, but it was a fun joke. In players getting fined news, Tampa's Cal Foote was fined $2,125 for cross-checking Anaheim's Buddy Robinson. That doesn't sound like a real name.
Buddy Robinson.
I feel like that's a name you get in some sort of like Netflix show.
I was gonna say like in a Disney movie.
Like I'm hanging out with hanging out with my friend Buddy Robinson, and then there'd be like continual like buddy friend jokes throughout. Anyways, let's jump over to some Olympic news as Team Canada revealed their men's hockey team roster, which includes three former Capitals. You got Daniel Winnick, Daniel Carr, because apparently only former players named Daniel get to play on the team. I don't see what's going on there.
It's Team Daniel. Why aren't you doing it?
I didn't answer my phone in time, I guess. I don't know what happened. They also have brought onto the team Edward Pascal, who was traded to the Caps from Winnipeg in 2014, but never actually played a game as a part of the organization, as he missed the entire 2014-2015 season with a hip injury. So best of luck to them.
So there's no one out there has a Pascal jersey or a sweater?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I did see during the game that somebody does have a Vitek Vanacek cap sweater.
Of course, at
Capital One at the game yesterday. I thought that was pretty funny.
I mean, based on the way he plays, if he could be more consistent,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a real opportunity for him to be the number one guy here at some point. But it's that consistency that neither he nor Samsonov have shown that is the big issue, and that's why. Right now on Twitter, people are talking about Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah.
But going back to Team Canada, they went for more of a veteran squad than the U.S., which has 11 players under 23. Russia, Finland, and some other medal contenders went with mostly older and veteran rosters and stayed away from players in their early 20s. Canada opens the tournament playing on February 10th against Germany before they take on the U.S. on February 12th, and then they host China. No, I said that wrong. They don't host China. China's hosting the whole tournament. Go me. Anyways, they're playing them on February 13th to close out the round robin action in Group A. That's news from the past week in the NHL and beyond.
So with all of these other teams going for veterans and the U.S. going for a more collegiate, younger roster, is there a chance for this to be a repeat on like the Miracle on Ice, or was that something completely different?
I think that's a bit different because the other teams had actual good players, and right now it's just kind of like, who's left players.
So is that it for the show?
That's it.
All right. Well, hey, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things. Although maybe not in the near future as much, given I'll be going to be a little busy. But find me on there talking about the Caps, talking about Arsenal Football Club, and how they also had a terrible January, and they better go sign a freaking striker and a center midfielder, because this team is not getting top four, potentially even top six, if they don't get some goal-scoring help. Also, find me on there talking about the Bills, and probably one of the best football games I might see in a long time, and it's just unfortunate they ended up on the losing end of that one.
13 seconds.
Man, that was a good game. And why they kicked the ball out of the end zone instead of letting it hit the ground. Like, I understand that Kansas City has got some good players, but burn off part of the clock. Oh, that annoyed me. And right there when they kicked that end zone, I was like, that's not good. Do not give Patrick Mahomes that much time and his three timeouts. Like, that was just stupid. Oh, so go to another offseason.
Good game, though.
It was an amazing game. It was a great game. But
great whole great weekend of football.
It was an interesting weekend of football.
Yeah.
I mean, the other games are kind of – I think the winner of that game wins the Super Bowl. I think it was going to be – every other team kind of, like, walked backwards into the next round. I mean, you know what? Cincinnati had – what's his name? Burrow got sacked 9 times. L.A. Yep. lost 4 fumbles and somehow still won.
Yep.
And San Francisco, I just don't think they're as good as everybody thinks they are, which means now they're going to win the Super Bowl. So I think the winner of that game really was going to win the whole thing. I mean, that was a good game. Also, on their occasion, talking about the Washington football team and how the team name they're going to come out with. It's going to be terrible. I'm going to be so annoyed, but whatever. I'm also on the occasion to talk about other sports and things as well. Let's find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs from time to time.
They're giving away like a car or something at their games this week.
Well, that's very nice of them.
Yeah.
I like that. Well done to you. But that's find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, I was just talking about the Buffalo Bills and how they should have been the Super Bowl champs this year. But if somebody happens to be a fan of a potential Antonio Brown-led team, he's shaking his head. No, he is not a fan of this plan, which means it is 100% going to happen.
Yep.
For about the first 3 weeks of the season before he does something and then he's booted out of there next. But if they happen to be a fan of a purple-clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a podcast they should listen to?
Yeah, you can listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call. Actually, earlier today, we recorded a brand new episode talking all about the moves that have been happening, like the firing of Wink Martindale. I don't know if that was really the best move, but the Ravens did it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But wherever you listen to this podcast, you can listen to that one as well, or on Facebook. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, subscribe on Facebook, do all those things for us. And then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. On Wednesday, January 26th, the Caps host the San Jose Sharks. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. Then they fly to Texas Forever, Friday. January 28th at Dallas against the Stars, 9 o'clock start. That game you can view locally on NBC Sports Washington. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. And then the Caps go to Pittsburgh.
Dork.
Great show. You should really be watching that series. A fantastic series.
I've never seen it.
Oh, dude, it's so good. It's on Netflix. Check it out when you got some.
I got plenty of other things I got to watch.
It's five seasons.
Very small humans to take care of. Human, just one.
It's five seasons. Second season's nah, but the rest of it's amazing. You need to watch Friday Night Lights. So good. So good. Then on Tuesday, the Caps visit Britt Baker's favorite team, the Pittsburgh Penguins, on the 1st of February. That game you can watch at 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Washington. And then the Caps are back home up against Edmonton. Ooh, that one's on cable. Watch that one at 7 o'clock, and that is on TNT, the home of AEW Rampage.
Why is that game nationally televised?
I was wondering that as well. That's
not the game against Pittsburgh, but the big rivalry between Washington and Edmonton.
Edmonton. Interesting.
Which, honestly, how are they not a really good team at this point? They have arguably the best player in the league in Connor McDavid. They have Leon Draisaitl. I can't pronounce it. I'm terrible pronouncing names in general, but his name I can't pronounce. He's incredibly good. Like, how do you still start not good? I don't understand that one.
Yeah, I don't get it either. All right. Well, hey, that's it for the show this week. I'm really sad. I mean, we are halfway through this season, and Ovi has yet to give us a new sign-off. I mean, I'm really kind of bummed with that, but we'll see. Anyway, that's it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.